You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Pure Pleasure with Dewey Halpus on Equal Vision Records and Sound Talent Media. I am Dewey, your host with the most, bringing you more great content week after week. This is the second episode this week. You guys heard Randy Bly on Tuesday. This is Thursday, and we are talking to none other than HR, the infamous, I wouldn't say infamous, the legendary HR from Bad Brains. I know you guys all love the Bad Brains. This dude is an absolute legend, and I could not believe it when we got the word that it was going to happen. I was also absolutely terrified, which I'm never terrified to do these episodes. The only reason I get nervous to do some of them is because I don't want to waste the other person's time, because if it's bad, I won't put it out. That's all there is to it. That's the only thing that could go wrong. You know what I mean? So having HR, and HR has a lot of things he's been through in his life. He's dealt with schizophrenia. He's dealt with insane headaches that, you know, required surgery to fix. He's been on just a wild, wild ride, and people have seen it very publicly. There's a very amazing documentary on HR called Finding Joseph I. And what a force. He's one of the best frontmen of all time. You know, from Randy to Chino ask anybody their favorite front man, and a lot of them are going to say HR. And there's something about him, his presence. You know, he's just ferocious, but also such a peaceful, kind person, talking about the PMA, the positive mental attitude. That's something that carried across in that music and still does to this day. I mean, HR even told me, keep the PMA, Mr. Dewey. Hearing HR from Bad Brains say, having HR from Bad Brains address me as Mr. Dewey was surreal. I could have hung up right then. Like, hearing that, watching him say that to me was something in my lifetime, I never thought I would see or hear. But starting this show has gotten me places that I would never thought I would ever gone. So when we did this interview, though, I want to preface this. HR is in a very different place than he was back in the day, right? He's dealing with the schizophrenia, the medications, just trying to just live a normal life. And a lot of times with these issues, things can get strange. You know, in this show, we have a pretty free-flowing conversation all the time. Like, that's how I like to do it. I don't prepare for these episodes. You know, when I talked to Randy on the last episode, I didn't prep for that at all. We just went into it cold like I always do. But HR, I knew from talking to Chino, you know, when it happened, like, let me know what I need to do. And, you know, as he said, once you get him talking, that's the way. You just get him talking, get him telling stories. And that's the way to pull these things out of him, because sometimes he has an issue communicating clearly. So I had a laundry list of things, if I ever got to talk to HR, what I'd want to know. And I literally went down that list because HR would answer very clearly, but then he would stop. So to keep the conversation going, I had to fire off the next thing and the next thing and the next thing, which was actually pretty interesting to do it that way because I don't do it that way. But by the end, it's about 30 some minutes, and it's very structured to keep him on track. And I wanted to do it in a way that would, you know, I want to be respectful of HR, you know, his life, what he's been through, and respectful of him as a person and his image and his legacy, because I do not want to be the person to put out something that is, you know, less than savory, I guess, is the way I would put it. So I sent this episode off to Dan at EcoVision. I sent it off to a couple other people, and then we weren't sure. We were on the fence with it. So talking to people that are close to HR, that yes, this is how HR is now, is the answer we got. And I reached out to when I was talking to Randy from Lamb of God, and I said, hey, you know, when we're done with this interview, I want to talk to you about something. So when we went off air, I mentioned to him that I had HR on the show, and I was on the fence whether to put it out or not, because one, it's not how I typically do things. So it's a little bit out of left field. Also, I didn't know if it was a good day or a bad day for HR, and I needed someone close to him to know. And Randy right off the bat said, do you want to send it to me? And I said, yes, please. I sent it to him. He sent me a massive email later that night saying, I really think you need to put this out. This is how HR is. This was a good chat. He was telling stories. You know, these are things that people need to hear. And he also said something that put me at ease, that if people are going to watch an interview or listen to an interview with HR, they already know where he's at and they know what to expect. So that put me at ease knowing that Randy's on board with putting this out. You know, all the people on my team are on board with putting this out. I feel really good about it. I just needed that clarification, and I really appreciate that from Randy and from everyone else on the squad. So Randy, if you're listening to this, thank you, my friend, for vetting this for me. So that being said, it's a lot different. It's very short. And that's why this intro is a little longer, because I wanted to tell the story behind it. So if this is your first time listening to this show, definitely go check out some others for our actual format of just a loose, free-flowing conversation. This one is very detailed, like I said, to keep HR on track. So like I said, guys, this was absolutely surreal for me to get to talk to HR like this in this capacity, face-to-face over Zoom. But big thanks to Lori as well. Lori is his wife, and Scott Bowling. Scott Bowling from Good Company with Bowling is the one who connected me to Lori. So I want to tie all these together and thank you to everyone that got this done. This was a dream come true. So let's get some business out of the way, and we'll jump right into this one. So peerpleasurepodcast.com is the website. peerpleasurepod@gmail.com is the email. If you want to get in touch with me, let me know what you think of this episode. I would love to get your feedback too. You know, I know a lot of you guys out there don't know HR personally, but I would love to hear an outsider perspective on how you thought it went, because it was definitely nerve-wracking at the time. I feel better now that I've gone back through it a few times and listened to it. But also check out the premium. The premium subscription is peerpleasure.supportingcast.fm, and that gets you access to all the video footage of these interviews. That includes Randy and HR. Everyone coming up the day I do it, it's up there in the premium for you guys to watch. You don't have to wait the month or so for it to cycle around. So go to peerpleasure.supportingcast.fm for the premium. Also join the Facebook group, Peer Pleasure Inner Circle on Facebook. Check that out. You get access to who's coming up next. You get to add questions or comments to the episodes. And yeah, it's just a cool place to hang out. So without further ado, guys, I want to get into this conversation with the one and only HR from Bad Brains. In a quest for the test, it's a feeling the team, and everybody's always on it just to see yourself. But the fact that I'm not, that's just going dead. Doesn't stand, I open empty, anyone else. Tell me your why, who's after the line, trying to make me up confused about the USA. When the fact in my mind, that's just going dead. To comprehend, I understand, I see your words. Mother, whatever, go get tired. Yes, I do. How are you guys?
Good.
How are you guys doing?
Hi.
Excellent. It's a pleasure to meet you both.
Yes, it's nice to meet you, Dewey.
You too.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dewey.
Sorry. Sorry for the reschedule. That was an crazy situation out of nowhere, random. Oh my God. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah. We're getting it fixed.
That's good.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to be around, but if you need HR to move closer or something, just, you know, tell them. I want to make sure your audio is good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me okay, HR?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Excellent. Excellent.
Oops, I just turned it down. Right, say something more so he can make sure that your voice is good.
How's that, Mr. Dewey?
You sound great, HR. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
You're winning the beard competition. I'll tell you that right now. I'm trying, man. That's nice. I'm trying. I just got a little bit of gray right here. How are you doing today? You doing okay today?
Yes, sir. I'm doing great.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a long time. I guess you could call it a bucket list guest. Someone, you know, I wanted to talk to for forever. And thanks to Scott for hooking us together too. You did his show over in down in Atlanta, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to start kind of way back. You had a very interesting childhood, HR. You moved around a lot, being a military child, and
yes,
you were born in Liverpool, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then you moved to Jamaica.
And we moved to DC, and then we went to Jamaica.
Okay, how old were you when you went to Jamaica?
Oh, about 4 years old, 3 or 4.
Okay, and tell me about living in Jamaica, because the one thing I saw in the film was that you were left there for almost a year.
Yes, sir.
Who were you staying with?
I stayed with my aunt and cousin. It was very nice. I went to the beach and I would go to school. I started school in Jamaica.
Okay. Okay. That's such an interesting change from England to DC, then to Jamaica, all in your first 4 years.
But, yes, sir. It was very fun, very educational.
Yes. Do you have any, you know, real specific memories of that besides, you know, playing at the beach and stuff? I mean, starting school it's such an interesting place as well.
Yes, sir. I remember going to see my cousin and my aunt, and I remember them cooking food for me.
Okay. Now, at that young of an age, I know you've been a vegetarian or vegan most of your life. Back then, were you starting to lean more towards that diet at that young, or were you just kind of eating what was put in front of you?
No, I would go outside and eat leaves and flowers.
Just whatever you could find?
Yes, sir.
What do you think made that the way you did things? Like, was just the natural curiosity?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then, so you moved to Hawaii after that?
No, we went to California. First, we went to New York, and then we went to Atlanta, and then we went to Phoenix City, Alabama, and then we went back to Hawaii.
Wow. So you were moving like every year, every 2 years?
Yes, sir.
And that was Air Force?
Yes, sir. My father was in the Air Force for 26 years.
Wow. What do you think? Did you enjoy moving around that much? Did you like kind of living that lifestyle, or would you have rather grown up in just one place?
Yes, sir. I enjoyed it, but sometimes I would get a little sad because I would leave my friends behind. But I enjoyed it a lot.
Okay. Did you find it easy to make friends? Being having to move around?
Yes, sir, I did. Yes, sir. We would meet in the new places we lived at. We would meet other military kids and play with them.
Okay. So that makes sense. You were living on base. I didn't have many military friends because they were always moving. But, yeah, that's just such an interesting way to grow up in moving around. So I'm from Alaska myself and moved to Portland in 2000, but we moved maybe three times as a child. And those were really hard because I'd made friends for so long that it wasn't, you know, a short spurt. It was friends for like 5 or 6 years and then gone versus friends for maybe a year.
Yes, sir.
But tell me, you were big into athletics. You were almost, you could have been an Olympic swimmer you were talking about.
Yes, sir. I was in junior high school and I would go to swimming classes, and there I would meet with my coach, and he said he wanted to take me to the Olympics.
That's wild. That's wild. So you naturally went towards athletics.
Yes, sir, I surely did. I started out in football when I was about in seventh and eighth grade.
What about that? What was your favorite? Swimming?
Yes, sir. Swimming was my favorite.
And what took you?
Diving.
Diving. Okay. Yes. I did the same thing. I was on the swim team and a diver, but I never went to the level of getting offered to go to the Olympics. It was all just, you know, elementary school, middle school, swim team. I lived on an island, so that's all you had, if that makes sense. But what got you out of athletics? Is there something that got you out of athletics?
Yes, so I started going to school in Maryland, and then I started playing in the band.
Okay. So you just naturally progressed into music as more of a outlet than athletics.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, tell me about your first bands, first instruments.
I first started playing the guitar at about 15. My father bought me a guitar, and me and my brother, who played the drums, would go from my friend's house, and there we would jam a lot and play progressive jazz.
Progressive jazz. Was that music that you listened to from your parents?
No, there was something I picked up on my own from the radio.
Interesting. Do you remember your first guitar?
Yes, sir, I surely do.
Do you remember what kind it was? Was it just an acoustic guitar or was it electric?
Yeah, it was an acoustic guitar, ukulele.
Okay. Excellent. Do you still play?
No, I don't play anymore. I sing now. I play a little guitar, but mostly I sing.
Okay. And do you remember like the first bands that really got you into playing?
Yes, sir. It was the Israelites and Tootsie the Maytals and Johnny B. Goode and the Rolling Stones and the Beatles.
Man, such an interesting time to grow up, HR. You had so much great music to surround yourself with. It's funny that when your guys is with Bad Brains, the first album, you know, was coming out, that's when I was born. And to think this 38 years, you know what I mean? Your music would touch me. And then, you know, we'd be talking here now today. It's cool to think about, you know, like that. I was nowhere near it when it came out, but it still lasts so long and touches people to this day. You know what I mean? Really cool. How did you and Daryl first get the Bad Brains together?
I met Daryl I was driving in my car and he was hitchhiking one day on the side, and I rode the car to the side and picked him up, and I asked him if he wanted to play in our band, and he said yes.
And so it was you and Earl, and then you got Daryl on, and then the Bad Brains were off and running.
Yes, sir.
Man.
Gary had played with us too over my friend's house for a little while, and then we picked up Daryl.
Okay. And do you remember, I mean, those first early shows, just where does your energy come from, do you think? That incredible energy. I mean, you just say, are you ready? And just go. Like, was that something?
I had to keep up with the band. It came from my brother because he plays so fast.
Was that planned? Playing that fast?
Yes, sir, it was.
Man, you guys were one of the fastest bands I had ever ever heard. Like, it was so much faster and harder than anything else going on at that time. I mean, it was just like on fast forward. It was intense. I mean, were you guys, was that, I know in the early days there was, you were doing some hallucinogenics before playing?
Yes, sir.
Who introduced you to that? Were you introduced to that earlier?
I picked it up from high school.
In high school. So people in high school were doing it and introduced you to that. Do you remember the first time you did that?
I remember going into the 10th grade, and I traded some of my mother's barbiturates for some drugs in school.
Okay. And that was your first foray into that, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Man, do you remember being scared, or did you really enjoy it at the time? I mean, I know you don't do it now, but
I was a little scared, but I wanted to find out how it was.
Mm-hmm. Did you find that it opened up something else in you that you normally wouldn't have found?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Now, when you guys started playing, you know, hitting the scene, like, there's a funny, I have a couple funny stories, but one big relationship that you have is your relationship with Henry Rollins and Ian MacKaye and those guys.
Right.
I remember them talking about you jumping off the stage and landing on them and still singing, like, in the face, that intensity, right? Where they had only seen before, like, big arena shows. So I know, do you know Randy Bly from Lamb of God, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I remember him saying Bad Brains is his favorite band. So
yes, sir, I remember.
When I was on tour, we played a squat house in Richmond, Virginia. And I'd never really seen shows like that. Randy and the Lamb of God guys rolled up in a truck, hopped out, and Randy grabbed the microphone from the singer of the band we were on tour with, and right in my face is how I experienced Randy, much like how those guys experienced you, and it changed everything, like being that close to the action. And I thought that was a cool, like, tie together of you and I because of, you know, how much you've influenced Randy and then now me.
Yes, sir.
But do you remember pulling Henry up on stage to finish the set?
Yes, sir, I do.
What made you do that? Like, what made you pull him up?
At the moment, I came up with a good idea, and I wanted to see if he could have some fun with us up on stage. So I asked him to come up, and he said, sure, why not?
That's excellent. Those things that people will never forget, you know? It's just a moment in time, like a split-second decision.
Yes, sir, it sure was.
Well, tell me this. This is another thing I was looking into, and Daryl was telling a story about how there were some shows where you actually had techs duct tape you to a chair.
Yes,
during
sir.
A show. Can you tell me that story? That was crazy.
Yes, sir. I was in Connecticut, and they were playing with the Fury and Rhode Island, and I wanted to tie myself up. So I asked them, would they please tape me to the chair? And they started playing, and then little by little, I heard the band play. And then I just buzzed out of the chair and kept on playing.
That must have been incredible to watch, like something no one had ever seen before. I've never heard a story like that. I've never heard of I've heard people coming out, you know, in outfits or like even a straight jacket, but not taped to a chair mid set. That's incredible.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to also get your take on the story about recording the Black Dots record with Don Zantara, how you had to vocals out on the deck or out on the porch.
Yes, sir, we did.
Can you tell me the story about that? The neighbor kids coming over. I didn't get the full story.
Yes, sir. Don Zantara used to have a studio in his father's house in the basement. So we went out there and we started recording, and Gary was recording his guitar in the bathroom, and Daryl would play in the live room, and so would Earl.
What's going on, guys? This is Dewey from Peer Pleasure, and I want to tell you about our newest sponsor, DistroKid. DistroKid distributes your music across all online platforms. They are an amazing company. I've enjoyed working with them the last few weeks, and they're going to be with us for a while, and I really, really appreciate that. I love working with great companies, and DistroKid is one of them. They have an awesome thing they're doing right now called Splits. Now, if you're working, as most people are, online, doing collaborations with people from all over the country, all over the world, as easy as that is with the internet, you want to get those people paid when you put that music online. And Splits can do that. You can add an unlimited amount of collaborators to any track. You can change the splits at any time. You can add or remove collaborators at any time. You can see previous splits. And all your collaborators are going to have to do is sign up for a DistroKid membership, a DistroKid account, so they can get paid. And as always, DistroKid never takes a cut. You and your collaborators get 100% of the earnings in total. A couple other awesome things that they do is they set up an official artist YouTube channel. You can use Spotify Canvas, synced lyrics, promo card to promote your release on social media, a mini video for your socials as well. There's just so many awesome things about using DistroKid. And like I said, I don't advertise things I don't use, haven't signed up for. I have signed up for this. It is a breeze, literally a breeze. And you can get going right away. So definitely check out DistroKid. And I want to give you 30% off your first year's DistroKid membership at any level. That is distrokid.com/VIP/PPP for Peer Pleasure Podcast. Once again, that is 30% off your first year's DistroKid membership at any level. distrokid.com/VIP/PPP. Go check out DistroKid right now. distrokid.com/VIP/PPP for 30% off.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bowie, Dylan, Marley. You've heard the names and maybe you've heard their songs, but what about the stories behind the records that made titans of music like these so universally loved and important? Join me, Josh Adam Myers, host of The 500, as each week I go through a different album from Rolling Stone Magazine's 500 Greatest Albums list from 2012 with an incredible lineup of comedians, actors, and musicians talking about how the music has impacted their lives. New episodes of The 500 come out every Wednesday. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Dewey from Peer Pleasure, and I wanted to tell you about Premium Pleasure, our premium subscription service that's available now. Peerpleasure.supportingcast.fm is the website. There's three tiers, Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. Tier 1 is $5 a month. It gets you the ad-free experience. Tier 2 gets you access to the Peer Pleasure Passcast. It gets you access to the videos of the interviews. It gets you merch discounts. Tier 3 is $20 a month. That gets you all of that. It gets you the Passcast, gets you the video footage, discounts on merchandise, and monthly Zoom calls with myself and other guests. We're going to have all kinds of stuff in there for you. There's all kinds of stuff in there for you now. There is, I believe, 30 to 40 videos of these interviews. There is multiple episodes of the Passcast. The Passcast is a podcast that I'd started separately that is me and another podcaster, or me and a guest, discussing a deep dive into their favorite episode of Peer Pleasure. So there's a bunch of those on there. So so-and-so and I would talk about the Chino Moreno episode. So-and-so and I would talk about the Yvette Young episodes. And we would do a deep dive and tell where they came from, how we got the guest, stories of that weren't discussed on the podcast or maybe weren't in there. It's just another glimpse behind the curtain. So that's the big deal with this premium service, is giving you a glimpse behind the curtain of how the podcast is made, gives you access to things I'm doing and things that we're doing with the show, gives you, you know, ad free stuff. It gives you just all kinds of things that we could throw in there to help make it a valuable part of your month. Because I put everything out there on this show. I put everything I have into this show. So being able to give you guys that little bit of extra is a big deal to me, and having your support is a big deal to me, because if we don't support our artists and creatives, we're not going to have any left. So I appreciate it. Peerpleasure.supportingcast.fm is the website. Go sign up today and get some of this premium pleasure.
And Earl played in the hallway, and then he suggested to me to go into the backyard and do my vocals. So I said, why not?
And so you didn't think that was strange at all. You just said, well, let's do it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I love that. Just, yep, go and get it done. That's excellent. And you can hear, I think you can hear some of the other voices. And like hearing him call down to like, okay, one more time or whatever, you go to get something.
Yeah, that was scary. Man. That was Dr. No.
Yes. Now he did, on the record label that, my podcast is on, Equal Vision, there's a band called Coheed and Cambria, and Dr. No came and played some guitar on that first record. And just that was one of the first times I've heard him do something different than the Bad Brains. This was back in like 2001. But you can hear that tone and you can hear that groove, and you almost know, I mean, even without looking at the liner notes, know who it is.
Yes, sir.
But, well, with, we have some other mutual friends. I got some pretty cool stuff from them on stories with you and kind of things that you had experienced with them. But could you tell me about your relationship with Adam from the Beastie Boys? I know that was a pretty solid, formidable relationship.
Yes, sir. I used to go and see them at CBGB's, and they became friends with Daryl. And then one day they asked me, the Beastie Boys asked me, would I come to one of their gigs? So I went to their gig at CBGB's, because they play there kind of often. And Daryl was there, and I met the band. And they sounded pretty good, but they used to play punk rock in those days.
Yeah, I remember. I remember that first release they had, and I did not know about that until years later, until I'd heard their hip-hop music. And Mike D actually recorded a record for the band I was in last, Portugal the Man. He did their last record. So, and they just loved it. Loved working with him and them. And it's so sad, sir, that Adam's gone, but man... what an amazing connection.
Yes, sir.
And that was one of the tour. You guys were supposed to go on tour with the Beastie Boys, right?
Yes, sir. We went on tour with them for a little while.
Yes. And that was, man. So do you, I want to know kind of where did everything kind of change for you in wanting to step away from rock and roll and move more towards reggae? Was it seeing Bob Marley?
Yes, sir. Sure was.
Do you remember the feelings you had? Like that's a big change when you have a band like the Bad Brains that are doing something so special, to be able to change gears and move away from that. That takes some courage, or at least a very strong urge. Is that something that you felt like immediately seeing Bob Marley, or was that the moment?
That was it immediately.
Could you tell me about that show?
Yes, sir. It was at the Capitol Center in around 80, 81. And I went to the show with Gary, Daryl, and Earl. I used to work as a security guard at Cafer's Hospital, Greater Southeast, in Southeast D.C. And it came to me, and this band called Return to Forever, which I liked a lot, was playing at the Capitol Center. But Bob Marley was opening for them, and they offered me to come with them to the show. So I did, and I loved it.
That's excellent. Now, you had been a Christian your whole life, right? Up until that point before you discovered Rastafari?
Yes, I was born a Catholic, and then later I converted to a Baptist with my grandfather in Phoenix City, Alabama, my father. And I would go to church, and I always remained a Christian. I was baptized there, and then I went to Texas and lived in Texas for a little while, and I was baptized again. And then I became a high priest with Ross Michaels in California.
Man, what a journey, man. It's wild. I wanted to talk on this show. We talk a lot about mental health. With a lot of people that I talk to, I suffer from severe depression, and I talk to a lot of people with dissociative disorder and things like that. With yours, do you remember when you started to notice that things were changing with you?
Oh, it was about 10 years ago.
10 years ago? Do you remember mm-hmm. the first things you started noticing, or were other people noticing first?
I noticed that it was just severe headaches.
Okay. And then, you went through a time too where, when things were changing, where you were kind of living like kind of a nomadic lifestyle. We were kind of going from place to place.
Yes, sir, I was. And then about 5 years ago, I met a doctor in Philadelphia, and he operated on my brain. And for about a year, I lived quite nice with my wife in Philadelphia. But then shortly after that, I started having headaches again.
Yeah, man. I can't imagine the pain of those headaches. I've researched that disorder, and I mean, people don't get through that. I can't even imagine. But positivity. You've always been a proponent of PMA, positive mental attitude, always been, a positive person. Was there ever a time going through that you felt PMA may not be enough? Like that you couldn't maintain that?
I kept my PMA.
That's amazing. That's amazing. In the darkest times, can still hold on to that PMA, and it got you through.
Yes, sir, it sure did.
I want to talk about this because it kind of ties together, but you went through a time of homelessness in LA when you were living in LA, right?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember, there's a warehouse in the documentary that you're walking through. Is that a place mm-hmm. that you had lived?
Yes, sir. It was in Baltimore shortly after leaving LA.
Okay. Because I lived in a place similar to that for several years while I was touring. And so when I watched you walking through there, I got all these memories coming back to me of when I lived in this old church that was a venue, a club in the basement. And I would have the same thing. I had to go through a freight elevator and all these doors, and there's all this material. Do you feel that living that nomadic lifestyle had an effect on your mental health and your journey? I mean, growing up through so many places, moving so many times, to then also being an adult touring and then moving all the time. Do you feel that had an effect on what ended up happening with your mental health?
Yes, sir, I surely do.
Okay. And I wanted to talk about Guy Osiri. Because Chino from the Deftones is a friend of mine, and I had him on the show, and he was telling me some HR stories, and he was talking about how Guy Osiri saw you at a bus stop and picked you up and brought you back to his apartment where Chino was living with him at the time. Do you remember that?
Yes, sir, I do.
Can you tell me about that? Because he was saying you guys would stay up. You had a trumpet that you were playing, and you and him would try to write music together, you and Chino at Guy Osiri's house.
Yes, sir. Guy Osiri was very nice to me. And shortly after that, he took me over to his place. I met Chino, and we would jam with him. And he asked me a little later, would I like to go to his studio and play some music? So I went to his studio, and then he offered me a record deal with Madonna at Maverick Records in L.A.
Yes. Man, so did you get to meet Madonna at that point?
Oh, no, I never met her, but I met a girl named Rose, and I met Freddie Lagers.
Okay. Because I know Guy Osiri, he ties into so many things on this podcast with different guests, but Chino was also telling me about when they were in Malibu recording the Saturday Night Wrist record, that you had come out, you were living in an attic in the house, and that you'd down making cereal in the morning, and how surreal it was for them being such huge fans of what you do to then that you're just hanging out at the studio, you know, living this nomadic lifestyle, and just how amazing that was. Do you remember that time?
I would hear them jam and I would go down and watch them play.
He said you put on a guitar at one point.
I played with them for a little while. It was fun and exciting, and I enjoyed playing with
them. Man, they're great people, man. They're really great people. And I mean, you influenced them so much. It was just, just them saying how surreal that experience was, you know, just HR's jamming with us, you know, HR's living in the attic, you know. There's just so many cool things that this story has touched on, you know. I'm glad you remember those stories, because he made me laugh when he said, like, he just randomly saw you at a bus stop, picked you up and brought you over the head of Maverick Records, you know. It's crazy. But how did that work with signing to Maverick when you were still struggling then with your mental health, like going through a major label record deal? Was that a difficult thing, or did you kind of just let it come as it happened?
I just let it come as it happened. I introduced Guy Siri to the band, and I invited them to come out to LA and play. So they said, sure, why not? So they came out to LA and we played, and Maverick Records adored us, and so did Madonna and Guy Siri. So they offered us a record deal, and me, Gary, Dr. No, Daryl and Earl did some recording. And the recording was at Ocean 11 Studios. Rehearsal was at Ocean 11 Studios. And then we went to Hollywood Boulevard Studios and recorded with Rick Ocasek. And Rick Ocasek was so phenomenal, and he just held on to the band, and we took the tapes over to Maverick, and they started playing the tapes, and they said they liked the music and they were going to release it.
That's incredible. Your memory is so fantastic with all these stories. I love that, how much you remember of these times and the positive side of things, and you know, your journey is just absolutely incredible. And I know it's been documented pretty well with the documentary and with the book, and through interviews, but it's just awesome to hear that. When did you meet Lori then? Because since you've been with Lori, you've had like a steady place to be, a home, and you know, had your place.
I met Lori in Baltimore, and it was at a friend's brother's studio, and Ben and Pablo Fiasco introduced us to his brother, who had a studio. And this was around December in 2011.
Okay. And were you guys into each other right away?
Yes, sir, we sure was. I invited her to a gig and her friends out at Auto Bar in Baltimore, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And they enjoyed themselves, and I invited them to come to where I lived. And she saw where I lived, and she said she couldn't stand it. So she offered me to go over to her apartment where she lived with Kat. And it was a very nice place. Pablo had worked on it and worked on it. And they lived next to Charles and Laura. And she had asked me if I would come and live with her. And I said, sure, why not? And so I moved in with Lori.
I love how many decisions in your life have been sure, why not? And it's just such a cool thing. You know, it's just having that that willingness to try things and just take it as it comes.
Yes, sir.
Jumping way back, that's something I forgot to mention. When did you first discover PMA? Like that you were going to make that your life's deal?
I discovered it with my dad, who introduced me to a book called Think Grow Rich. And this was in Maryland around 74, 75, 76. And I read the book and I thought about what Napoleon Hill was was saying, and I just put it to contemplating with my brother and Daryl and Earl and Dr. No. And then I just put the principles to practice. And that's how it started around 75, 76. And in 77, we started rehearsing a lot and played our first show 2 years later in CBGBs.
Man. See, I never got to see a show at CBGB's. I actually used the bathroom at CBGB's when we were playing down the street at the Continental. But I never got to see a show there. We were on tour over there, and we never played CB's. Now, you were there so much. Like, you guys were like a mainstay at CB's.
Yes, sir.
Do you remember some pretty amazing shows, seeing some amazing shows there? Did you get to see the Ramones quite a bit and stuff?
No, I never saw the Ramones, but I did see Steve Bader's and Stimulators, and also I got to see the Ramones in Maryland.
Okay. Do you remember, with such a crazy live show, do you remember getting hurt on stage ever to where you actually had to stop or get medical attention, or were you just going 100 miles an hour and just let it ride?
Yes, sir. We just played 100 miles an hour and let it ride.
I love that. I love that, HR. I want to talk about your faith too for a little bit, because it's something that's been such a huge part of your life. How has your faith grown and changed since you were, since seeing Bob Marley and discovering Rastafari and everything else? Has there been quite a bit of growth, or has there been a pretty solid tenet that you've held to?
Yes, sir. It started changing when I read the Bible. I went to church, and they introduced me to the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. And I started reading the Holy Bible, and my life changed. And I just got so engulfed in the Bible that I enjoyed reading it, and I enjoyed going to the church. And I read it about 7 or 8 times, and then I decided to put it into practice.
Got it. And so now, I mean, you hold a lot of the same things. I mean, now I would imagine, are you reading every day, reading the Bible every day?
I try to read as much as possible.
Okay. What does your day look like now? That you're in Baltimore now, right?
Yeah, no, sir. I live in a place called Snow Hill, Maryland.
Okay.
Which is about 3 hours outside of Philadelphia. And I just would get together with my wife. We would cook food, and we did different stuff, did different interviews and cameos, and I did recordings out of my friend's studio.
Okay. Cameo. How did you get involved with Cameo? I saw some of those on the website, wishing people happy birthday and such.
Through my manager.
Oh, okay. Who's your manager right now?
My friends, Kate Gamble.
Okay.
In California.
Okay. I've always thought you go through Lori, so I wasn't sure if you had a manager. That's are you enjoying Cameo?
Yes, sir. I enjoyed it.
That's awesome. You give some joy to people as well. I'm sure getting a voice message or a video message from you, brightens some people's day for sure, especially on their birthday. Is it a lot of birthday stuff?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. Now, I wanted to... One main thing I wanted to ask you is if you could talk to HR back, in the Bad Brains days, is there something you would tell yourself that you've learned now that you would change, or would you just let it all happen as it happened?
Yes, sir. I enjoyed talking with my manager, and we talked for hours and hours and hours over at his house. And I would go to church and come back and ask him, what about this and about that? And he said, yeah, man, just keep up the good work. You're doing a great job. Just keep on trying and you'll be just fine.
That's excellent. That's excellent, HR. I really appreciate you jumping on with me today and chatting for a bit. This really means a lot to me, my friend. You've really influenced me in my life. Your PMA. Just like the other night when we had to reschedule, I'm looking at the situation. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to think about this in a positive life. Like, no one got hurt. We're all good. Like, trying to find the positive side of it. And it really, really helped, as it always has. And it's just a real honor to chat with you.
Thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Awesome. Well, HR, enjoy the rest of your day, my friend, and hopefully we can do this again someday.
Okay. Sure will. And you take care, and thank you again for this opportunity. I'm much gratified, and the last guy I know, I'm much honored to meet you.
Same here, HR. Thank you so much. And tell Lori thank you. I'll send her an email saying the same, okay?
Okay, thank
All right.
you.
Keep up the PMA, my friend.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with HR from Bad Brains. I know it was a little shorter than usual, but like I explained in the beginning, we went down my list of things I wanted to talk about. I didn't want to keep HR super long. I wanted to be respectful of his time and just being so gracious. What a positive force. Keep the PMA, you know, that positive mental attitude. He has been through so much pain, mental illness, homelessness. You guys have heard my episodes with Chino and talking about, you know, picking up HR with Guy Osiri at a gas station, like letting him live in the attic while they're recording a record at a rental house. All these things that HR has in his life have been so crazy. It's been nuts. And to have that kind of output, he's still putting out music. He's putting out children's books. He's doing all kinds of things. Just a wonderful, wonderful human being. I wish there was more people like him out there. You know, but I'm glad there's only one HR, and there truly is. So thank you again to Scott Bowling, Lori Carnes, Randy from Lamb of God. Thank you for listening to this pre-release to give me the okay. Thanks to Chino for the feedback and helping me prep for this in a way that would set me up for success. Dan at EVR and Dave at Sound Talent. Like, thank you everyone for getting this together and keeping me on point. I've got a lot of people in my corner, which when I say that, I guess I don't need to say that, but I want to say that because I really do. And they provide me with so much help and insight and support, you know, just people on the team alone. And then all of you guys that listen to the show, write me every week, you know, give comments, questions, like guest ideas. You're involved. You're a part of this thing. It's just this beautiful, beautiful thing that we've created over the last 4.5 years, almost 5 years. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I love each and every one of you so much. I really do. I say it every week and I mean it every week. All the word of mouth, all the support, everything out there has just been beautiful. The PMA is strong at Peer Pleasure. And now that we have HR in the catalog, it's even hotter. It's just something that I just still can't believe. And it was hilarious when I did the interview with Randy. He was wearing a Lamb of God shirt. He was wearing a Bad Brains shirt, and I was wearing a Bad Brains hat. And it's like we called each other like two middle school girls before going to school to match. Having things like that, little bullshit like that, it's been so funny. These are things I'll remember forever. So thank you guys so much for coming back week after week. Go sign up for the premium, peerpleasure.supportingcast.fm. Sign up for the Facebook group, Peer Pleasure Inner Circle. And as always, we'll see you on the radio. Yeah.
The number you have reached is 100.7 WMMS.
It wasn't just a radio station, it was a lifestyle.
Cleveland is a rock and roll city for sure.
I do like Chicago's.
Get down!
The Wrath of the Buzzard. WMMS. Cleveland.
The rise and fall of one of the most iconic radio stations in America. Profiles. The Wrath of the Buzzard. PROH Files. Subscribe now wherever you get podcasts.